God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. This morning we invite you to gather to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Blessing it is to come together again as a collective body and there lift our voices to God in adoration and praise and thanksgiving as we have been, for truly he is worthy of our devotion and praise. For our text this morning, turneth me to Romans chapter 16. Paul here was closing his letter to the church at Rome, and in closing his letter to the church at Rome, we see how encouraging and inspiring he was, and from the depths of his heart, he was applauding or thanking the Lord for faithful fellow soldiers in building the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So we see the salutations here as we go down through the last part of this letter. Chapter 16. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria, a servant of the church, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. Think of the interpersonal relationship a leader of the church had with a beloved sister in the group that he said was a succor of many and beloved sister in the church. And he said, assist her in whatever business she had where she has need of you, for she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. And then he goes on down through greeting Priscilla and Aquila, who have given my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. And he goes down with the personal names and salutation, giving salutation and blessing how they have blessed them in doing kingdom work. And we can look over this audience of people, brethren and sisters, and deeply, there's a deep commendation and thanksgiving for the spiritual, you using your spiritual gifts in building the kingdom collectively, to the honor and glory of God in this last day, that we would give ourselves unreservedly to the great work which God hath called us to in this our day, 2025. We're going to look at the last part of this letter then. We're going to go headed my message. The obedience of faith, is the fulfillment of God's eternal plan. And we want to focus on the obedience of faith. And the Apostle Paul enumerated giving salutation of all these and commending brethren and sisters. It was the obedience of faith that drew them into that kind of a personal relationship that was so endearing and uplifting and nurturing and helping. So we're going to look at verse 24 and on down to the end of the chapter. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Grace is the epitome of why we can be effectual in our work, in that we know the grace of God, that bringeth salvation. And what that means to us, God's grace in our hearts that gives us a divine enabling, has drawn us into a relationship with Him. And out of the wellspring of that relationship with Jesus Christ, we then give ourselves in the work and life of the work of the church. So grace is all important. It's a focus of how this can even happen. Now to Him that is of power to what? Power to establish you what? How? Establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, clearly manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations, what? For the obedience of faith. And that's the emphasis of our message this morning. God's great eternal purposes is in calling us from a life of darkness and sin into His kingdom of His dear Son, translating us into His kingdom of His dear Son, that His purposes would be accomplished in and through the church in our obedience of faith. Emphasize obedience. Today we're seeing many a group that has a cheap grace, and our hearts are burdened at the loss of faith that is evident where they are no longer focusing on the grace of Jesus Christ, that like Titus says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that by denying ungodliness and worldly lusts we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present evil world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace of God teaches us that we deny ungodliness and worldly lusts as we live in this sinful world. It brings us into a life of separation from the world and all its vile affections and expressions, because we've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And so, when we talk about the obedience of faith, it is the eternal purpose of God that there be fruit bearing on this level, the obedience of faith. Cheap grace. It says, under the pure all things are pure, but under them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being an abominable and disobedient and under every good work reprobate, which means unprincipled. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We are talking about obedience of faith, where there is a grace of God in effect that empowers and strengthens a group of believers to a life of holiness. A life separate from sin, giving a clear expression of the presence and power of Jesus Christ in their life that lives, expresses a pattern of victory over sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of you that have been dead to sin are buried with Christ by baptism into His death? Talked to a man one time. We were invited to the church because we had contact with one of his members, and they invited us to church. And they had an inner circle, and we sat at the outer circle. And there they had communion. They broke bread and had communion. And he went on. They were very strong Calvinistic. And they said, they emphasized that what the grace of God has done in their life and commemoration of Christ's death and suffering. Later on, we had a discussion with one. I had a discussion with one of them men, and I said, "You are commemorating the death and suffering of Jesus Christ, which means you, in partaking of the emblem of His shed blood and broken body, are to be giving expression within your lives every day that you know." From that experience, what Christ has done for you in giving His life as a sacrifice and offering for sin, and how the grace of God separates us from a life of sin and gives us victory in Christ Jesus. And a discussion went on from there. And I said, there's got to be holiness of life evident in every person's life within the body of Jesus Christ. It is born, that fruit is born in the life of the church. He said, he told me, we sin in thought, word, and deed every day. Do you believe that? Do you sin in thought, word, and deed every day? I said, I beg your pardon. And I started to quote Romans chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And I wanted to go to that chapter and show him. I said, in Romans 7 is, you know, the two laws warring in your members. And it's a life of struggle and not a life of yieldingness. And finally, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And I went to go to the chapter 6 and chapter 8 to point him to the fact that Christians live a victorious Christian life. And he batted my pages and he went to chapter 7. He wasn't interested in chapter 6 and chapter 8. But brethren, that is reality within the life of the church. Living reality that we can experience in our expression of, and rather our obedience of faith and the blessing that we can experience. We're going to look at this. This is a foreordained plan of God. We talked of the obedience of faith being the fulfillment of God's eternal plan. Turn 1 Peter 1, 1 to 16. Notice this. I told that man, Christ died in vain, if that's the way you're living. And really you have no right to. Why do you keep having communion in remembrance of what He has done if you continue on living that way? But notice this is God's foreordained plan. Simon Peter, First Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle, Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Notice this next verse. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of Jesus Christ. God had a foreordained plan. We are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, your heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen we love, though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of our faith, even what? The salvation of our souls. Praise the Lord. Victory in Christ Jesus. The expression of obedience of faith and the fulfillment of God's eternal plan. Turn with me to Colossians 1, 18. And we're going to read on through to chapter 2, verse 7. It talks about, in our text, about God, through the voice of the prophets, had a foreordained plan at how that came to fulfillment. The mystery was unfolded through the preaching of the message of gospel. And what was that mystery? That mystery was Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not just Jew, but Gentile, open unto the Gentiles. I loved Ephesians chapter 2, and it says, and you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even while we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace ye saved through faith, not out of yourselves, as a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're his workmanship, created what? In Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained, that what? We should walk in them. Not cheap grace, the grace that delivers from the life of sin, transforms us, translates us into his kingdom, makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus, and our sins are atoned for in the blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit enters into our hearts and empowers us and gives us strength to press on in a life of victory, being more than conquerors through him that loved us. Colossians, let's get back to Colossians. Colossians 1, 18. Well, we'll start with verse 17. It talks about the preeminence of Christ. He is the head of the church, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. In verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet hath he now reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Notice, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. The obedience of faith. That's what God has done in our experience, that he might present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Amazing. Do you believe it? Can we live that way? Are we that way? The grace of God effective in our life? Yes, absolutely. We'll go on to read. It's a semicolon. There's a condition here. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Notice, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Notice, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his work, working which worketh in me mightily. That's the mystery was unfolded. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now God hath brought us together in one body, Jew and Gentile. That wall of partition is broken down. We can now enter into that personal relationship with Christ, which is so meaningful. And we think of that in relation to our text, how that mystery was unfolded. And now we can be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What a blessing. We think of was there obedience of faith under the old covenant? Now they were given the moral law in Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet. You know what Stephen said about that? He said, they were lively oracles given unto you by the disposition of angels, but ye have not kept them. Did they have the power under the old covenant to live a life that was the obedience of faith? How many of you know the beautiful record given in Hebrews chapter 11? There was the obedience of faith under the old covenant because they looked, they believed in the promised Messiah and the covenant that God had given to Abraham, and they looked forward to the unfolding of that plan, and they saw the Messiah as the one who is going to fulfill all the types and shadows under the old covenant in the giving of his life as a sacrifice for the sins of all mankind once for all. Once for all. You know, when the temple was dedicated, there was, 27,000 bullocks offered, sacrificed, and how many thousand sheep? And fountains and rivers of blood flowed under the old covenant. It was only a covering of sin for another year. But brethren, we have the blessing of the atonement, which cleanses us and frees us from sin, and that offering has been made once for all. We're going to move on here. We could look at Isaiah 1, 4 to 20. You know, God is looking for the obedience of faith, and under the old covenant, over and over again, He was disappointed because verse 4. Ah, sinful nation of people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children out of corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. It goes on from the sole of the foot even unto the head. There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings and of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. When ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. When ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. And then the call comes from the heart of God. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil from your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together. Let's read it all together. Ready? This is the call of God. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, we're talking about the obedience of faith. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. In the heart of God, we hear God's heart cry in Deuteronomy 5, 22 to 23, under the Old Covenant. 22 to 23. He said, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. That's the heart cry of God, not only under the old covenant, but under the new covenant. Oh, that there be such an heart in me and you, that you would be fear me and keep my commandments. Is that works? But no, it's obedience, the obedience of faith. And keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with your children, or I should say your children forever, exclamation mark. There has been a remedy, and we thank you so much for that remedy, which we know through Christ Jesus. There is a warning issued in our text. Turn it back to me to Romans chapter 6, 16. Verse 17 and 18. He said, verse 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the heart of the simple. But he goes on to say, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would not have you wise unto that which is good. I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That's a warning. I think about, sat in a church service not too long ago. I was not ready for what we experienced. Not going to say a lot about it. I'm not making a blanket judgment call. It pained my heart. Cut hair. Very emotional service. The thump of drums in the background, the beat of the songs, the lyric repetition in the lyrics, and people were supposedly praising, called to praise God, a time of prayer, a praise, it said. And they stood up and stood to their feet. And as the temple built up, bodies began to sway and hands were lifted up. And it went on and on and on and on. All I'm saying, brethren, we've been entrusted with the message of the gospel in our day to preach it in its entirety and to preach the principle of the cross, which separates men from a life of sin and calls them to a life of holiness. And it's manifest in the obedience of faith. It's manifest in the obedience of faith. Talked to a young man one time, and he had been a rough, vile young man. I knew him as a young man. He was well known in the community. He was a high roller. But his brother, one day, through a drunken stupor, he was driving along a back street, just out of La Creek. And I seen this truck when I went to work in the morning. A Ford truck stuck in the snow, obviously got stuck in the snow. And it was burnt. The cab was burnt. And I went on to work, never stopped. And later on, I found out when the town woke up, there was quite a stir. There was a body in that truck that was burned to a skeleton. That was this boy's brother, just cut off in his youth, and by a tragic, it just gripped that young man to his depth of his heart, and he cleaned up his life, repented of his sin, and started a new life. But he was conned into a cheap grace concept. And I met him at the ferry one time, and he was so glad. He said he wanted to share the message of the gospel with his father, and they'd been out hunting moose together, and his father was not a Christian. He was closed to it. But he said, in sharing the message of the gospel, my dad found Jesus Christ and found deliverance. And I'm not questioning that at all. Work of the grace of God in his life and the testimony he gave. But he went on to say, I said, where are you going to point your dad from here? You know, where are you going to take him? Okay, he's experienced salvation, deliverance from sin. Where are you going to show it, point him to? Well, that was a question he wasn't really ready to answer. You know, once saved, always saved. That's the way he felt. I said, you know, we are called to a life of obedience of faith. I said, it's a works religion. For by grace you say it through faith, not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's as far as he got. I said, Peter, you can't deny the fact that help your father on and nurture him to a life of obedience of faith. The scripture that came to my mind, and I quoted him, he said, it's a dead religion, works religion is dead religion. It's through faith in Christ, not only Apostle Paul said in the book of 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians, it's speaking about the second coming of Christ. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his holy angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those who know not God and those who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Does that mean anything? Is obedience necessary in our life? Yes, we're called to a life of obedience. No cheap grace. Two classes of people, those who obey not or those who believe not. That means willful unbelief. They've had the chance. They turned away. And those who obey not the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you want to take a chance in coming before God in judgment? And every man's sins are going there. Every man is going to stand there to give an account of the deeds done in the body by your words and by your works. We're called to life of obedience of faith. It calls us to the obedience of faith, calls us to a love for the brotherhood, a love for the church. The focal point of divine interest in the provision of God through Christ Jesus is in the church of the living God. Those who are from north, south, east, and west have answered the call of God to salvation, have appropriated the blood of Christ to their life, filled with the Holy Spirit and living and walking in obedience to his divine will, brought into an assembly of believers, a faithful church who is living out the principles of the word. Yes, that's what we're called to. Turn with me to, oh, I love it, Psalms 48. Beauty of it. It's an Old Testament passage, but it's beautiful. Great is the Lord, and greatly be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge, for lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together, they sought, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever, Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion. Go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. Let's read the last four verses together. Let's hear it. For this is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. Read it again. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. That promise we claim as we are a part of the living body of Jesus Christ and value that love relationship. Having God as our head, we being members of his body, and the Holy Spirit empowering us as a group, a body of believers, to live in the obedience of faith. was given in the love for the church. I like this, what the songwriter said. I love the kingdom, Lord, the house of thine abode. Goes on to say, for her my tears shall fall, for her my prayers ascend, for her my cares and toils be given, till toils and cares shall end. Beyond my highest joy, I prize her heavenly ways, her sweet communion, solemn vows, her hymns of love and praise. For her my tears shall fall, for her my prayers ascend, for her my cares and toils be given, till toils and cares shall end. Yes, we devote ourselves. It's the obedience of faith that we maintain a relationship with a body of believers that has been cleansed by the blood of Christ and living victorious lives in the power of the Holy Spirit, manifesting his glory to a lost and sinful world, being his lights to the world. Well, you know what it says in 1 Peter 4:7. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if it be, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? That's a solemn question. Is the grace of God sufficient in 2025 to keep this body of believers on the straight and narrow and living in a way that manifests his glory and a love for the brotherhood and a love for the church and a pressing on in the work which God has called us? If it is, in and it is, I'm going to, let's turn with me to Revelations 22, 2 to 17 in closing. My dad had memorized this verse, and I still remember him quoting it. Revelation 22. We're going to read from verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophet of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down and worshipped before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he to me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren. Keep the sayings of this book, worship God. It's a closing emphasis of Holy Scriptures, the obedience of faith. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophet of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And this is the wonderful expression of the blessing given to those of the obedience of faith. Let's read it together. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. It's a closing thought. Blessed are they that keep his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city. Are we living in anticipation of that blessing in our lives by living a life of the obedience of faith in our day? Brethren, continue on. We have a great call before us to manifest the glory and power of Jesus Christ in this community, in this our day. Let's press on in the work.